Happy Sunday.
Thank you.
I like that. I love your smiles. And that is, we have good reason to be happy. Thanks for meeting to this house of the Lord and to pray and to sing. And yes, I welcome everyone. And especially, I see three people here from camp. I got to meet them on Wednesday. And it's such a pleasure. So, Elena, raise your hand. Johanna, and Scott. I don't have your names written down there, but I was memorizing it. Welcome here. Let us take a moment of silence and meditate on the Whitewater Identity Statement and the Latin Vows. Just become quiet, just read them. In early May, I flew up to see my sister in Cornwall, Ontario, and I was very apprehensive of going in the first place. And between my sister and Ed Heidi and Henry, they finally convinced me that I should do this. Anyway, airports and all that, I haven't flown since the early 90s, and all the terrible things you hear. But anyway, as it turned out, you wonder who you're going to sit with, right? So I didn't buy, I did get an economy seat and a middle seat last second, and the space between us was empty and another fellow. Anyway, we got talking, and you know when someone wants for a million to talk in the airport, right? It's not just your strangers. So this happened to be an Indigenous person who was going to Ottawa for negotiations. And we talked, 2.5 hours flight. And we talked all the way. And there still wasn't enough time to cover the things that I would have liked to have covered. A very pleasant gentleman, to say the least. On the flight home, it was just the opposite. The guy had earplugs, he had a computer, and looked over, no, he wasn't talking. So anyway, that's how it goes, right? So I didn't have a good experience. So the call commercial that you want to read out of Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with a voice of joy. For the Lord Most High, excuse me. Apologize for my voice. It's going. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God, and he is highly exalted. This is a little bit of a segue into the Apostles' Creed, which I also want to read. And if you want to follow, it's on the back of our hymnal 712. And I will substitute I for we in our case because of perfect worship. And this is what we do. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, has conceived, but who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Ever living God, your eternal Christ once dwelt on earth, confined by time and space. Give us faith to discern in every time and place the presence among us of Him who is head over all things. Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. Amen. Time for a confession of assurance. Slow us down, Lord. Help us to enjoy the process of waiting for the wondrous thing to offer us. Let us feel the power and the beauty of praising you and singing your praises. Clear away our high gear mentality and place us on paths of peace and hope. Forgive our arrogance and impatience. Help us to overcome those traits which pull us away from you and from appreciating all that you have done for us. As we listen to the scriptures this day in which the disciples witness Jesus' ascension to you, let our hearts be at peace, knowing that you have taught us what we need to know to serve you joyfully in this world. Inspire us and give us delight for what is to come. Forgiveness and love have been poured out upon you to offer hope to all nations. You are called to be messengers of God, good news to all people.
Take your name again.
Number 116. You'll say, whoa, five verses. And you know what? It's a story. The song is a story, and we need to sing all five verses. It's complete by singing all five verses. 116. Please stand with it.
His glories now we see, O God and Lord on high, O God and eternal life to bring, and with that death may. crowned in the glory of God. Behold his curtains fall, red robes and clothes of gold and above, in beauty glorified. No angels in the sky can fully bear the sight, but God permit them good in us, God restored me so bright. Crowned in the Lord of peace, those poor hearts in peace, from home to home, the wars may cease, absorbed in heaven. His great shadow covered him, and round his pierced seat, there flowers of paradise extend, and fragrance ever sweet. Crowned in the glory of years, the broken gate of time, Creator of the worlds, ineffably sublime, all every deep for thou art God for me, thy flight shall never be sin through the eternity.
Hold it open to the next song, 117. 117. There's four verses there.
Thank you.
301. 301. Please stand again if you're able. 301.
Joy is flowing like a river, through our hearts with us forever, makes the troubles take hearts. Bless the kindness, holy kindness, God has shown in my soul. On this road is easy things to be, how my purpose is to roll. When you love the world, the kindness, all the problems in weakness, banish memory from your service, change our weariness to rest. With our kindness, holy quietness, banish your words in my soul. Oh, this darkness is filled with mystery, how that we know saves the world.
Thank you.
God, we have been made in your image. So in your generosity, make us generous. In your faithfulness, make us faithful. So that whatever gift we bring to you might be an offer of worship before you. As the gold, frankincense, and myrrh were before your Son, Jesus Christ, in his name we pray.
Can someone help me see what's on this bed here? There should be three things. What's in there? You can open it up. Okay, so does everyone know what these are called? Oh, they have caps on them. They're called binoculars? How do you say that word? Binoculars. And what else is in that bag? These. A phone, okay, can I have that one? Great, and there should be one more thing. Okay, what type of book is that? It's a bird book. I've been noticing lately that there's a lot more birds around than there were a month ago. Has anyone else noticed that? What kind of birds have you been seeing? Don't know. Big ones? Little ones? Pretty little ones? Cool. Can you see any birds in here? Maybe some snowbirds. So what are these things are for? They're all for bird watching, right? And I have an uncle, Uncle John, who, when we're walking together, he hears something and he says, "Oh, that's so-and-so." And even without seeing it, he can recognize birds by their song, which I think is really cool. And I've been wanting to learn that a little bit more myself. So I got this app on my phone. It's called the Merlin bird ID app. So, do you think the people in here know their birds? In the congregation? Probably. So we're gonna do a little bit of trivia. So I'm gonna play a bird song, and then if you know who's singing that song, raise your hand or yell it out. Okay, are you ready? This one's an easy one. You got it. Canada Goose. Okay, next one is a very beautiful one. It's one of my favorites. I've been hearing them a lot lately. Meadowlark, Western Meadowlark, very good. Have you guys heard that one before? They're often sitting on the top of fence posts. Have you seen them? Okay. This one is fairly common. I should stop giving hints. Robin, American Robin, you got it. Okay, here's another one. No, that's actually a rose-breasted grosbeak. And I had one at my theater the other day at like 6 a.m. and they're beautiful. And they are quite rare, apparently. They go all the way down to like Latin America in the summertime, in wintertime, which would be nice. Okay, last one. It is a type of woodpecker. It's a northern flicker. And we have a pair of them at the farm. And that was a new one for me this year. So you might be thinking, that's nice, but why are you doing this in church? It's not very relevant. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the story that Wes is going to talk about today. So Wes is going to talk about a story. It's a pretty wild story where Jesus goes up on a hill and he ascends. Does anyone know what that means? To ascend? He goes up, into the clouds, which is a pretty wild thing to imagine seeing. Someone just going up into the clouds. And he says that he will come back and that he's going to leave the Spirit of God here with us in the meantime. And that had me wondering, what does the Spirit of God sound like? If I could pull up on my app, Spirit of God, what sound would come out? And I was wondering what the elders in this church would say, because they've got a lot more experience listening for the Spirit of God than I do, for sure. But I was thinking, the Spirit of God, if I could guess, I think it would say something like, you are God's creation, you are worthy of love and respect. And so I want to just give you that blessing today, and I was wondering if we could do a little bit of a call and response. So if I could ask everyone to just put their hand right here. Can you take your hand and put it here? So when you're saying this, you're saying it to yourself, and you're also saying it to anyone else in the room, okay? So I will start, and then you will say, what was it? You are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. Human practice once. You are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. Okay. And I will start. Whether you are young or old, you are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. Whether you had a great week or a hard week, you are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. Whatever you're wearing, whatever your gender, whatever you look like, you are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. And whatever life circumstances you find yourself in, whether you have lots of cool stuff and lots of friends, or you're feeling a little lonely, if you have a big family or a little family, you are God's creation. You are worthy of love and respect. Okay, thanks. And you can let me know if you see any cool birds out there.
Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and of the love you have for Christians everywhere, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven, far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Yes, this honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under his feet and made him the supreme head of the church, which is his body, filled with himself, the author and giver of everything, everywhere.
Let us pray for Pastor Wesley. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the words in your scripture this morning. We pray that you give peace to Pastor Wes as he speaks to us, open our minds, our hearts, and let us hear the message that is here for us this morning.
Good morning. You're not going to get much more than the telling today, but that's actually sort of how it's designed. We have time downstairs to discuss our questions and those sorts of things. So let's place a premium on on this scripture today. Not every day, but today. Now, as Claire's noted, and as some of our songs have also noted, today is Ascension Day. Actually, it was on Thursday. It's always on Thursday. Ascension is not part of my growing up tradition. I mean, like, obviously it happened, but like the thing was not a thing. And from what I understand, like, at one point in time here, it was a thing. But, like, he didn't have school that day and stuff. And according to Jake Unger, like, the thing that you did on Ascension Day was shoot gophers. So, I don't know if you shot gophers over there today, but apparently that was the Ascension Day thing. I have no idea what that had to do with Ascension Day. That's the story I have heard. I want to give you one quote to kind of just maybe prime the pump when you hear the story. This is from Chuck Collier, who I actually don't remember exactly his dates, roughly 250, let's say, 250 AD, give or take 100 years, let's say. Somebody can look it up. Be consoled, he says. Be consoled, flesh and blood, for in Christ you have taken possession of heaven and of God's kingdom. So this is Luke writing the book of Acts chapter 1. And he begins in this way. In the first book, Theophilus, so the first book being the Gospel according to Luke, right? And Theophilus being possibly a real person, but possibly just the ideal Christian, the one who loves God or wants to love God. Theo meaning God, phileo, meaning home. So if you want to love God, this is a book for you. If you want to love God, this is a book for you. If you're not interested in loving God, like, maybe this book isn't going to be interesting, right? That's kind of how this works. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up into heaven. After being given instruction through the Holy Spirit to his apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them with many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of God. This, he said, is what I have told you. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, it is now the time. Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it's not for you to know that the times or the periods that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up. and a cloud took him from their sight. While he was going, and the disciples were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by him. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven." Then they went back to Jerusalem. Let's just note a few things here before we go downstairs. Jesus, after suffering death by crucifixion, shows himself to the disciples alive, bodily alive. Over the course of 40 days, not just one appearance, it's not a vision. Over the course of 40 days, he convinces them that he's Jesus, alive. That's both what Scripture and the church's tradition has always taught. Okay? That seems very basic, but that's super important in our understanding of our vocation. Because creation matters. Matter matters. And part of creation is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus ascended bodily into heaven. Humanity sits on the throne in heaven. As crazy as that is. That's what Tertullian was saying when he said, "He consoled flesh and blood, for in Christ we have taken possession of heaven and of God's kingdom." And he's basically quoting from Ephesians there. Jesus is still speaking about the kingdom of God after he's raised from the dead. He's not speaking about heaven. Heaven shows up in its very dense cluster here in this passage. Five times heaven shows up here in this passage. But that's not the focus. Jesus doesn't preach heaven, he preaches the kingdom of God. Because he's coming back very much alive. Now the disciples are tracking with this, right? Over the intervening years, we might have missed that focus sometimes. But the disciples are tracking with the kingdom stuff. And we should too, because they ask exactly that. When will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And they've got all sorts of scriptural receipts for this question. They have Psalm 47, which we read. They have Jeremiah 50, 19 and 20, which I'll read mostly because of how beautiful it is. "I will restore Israel to its pasture, and it shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and on the hills of Ephraim and Gilead its hunger shall be satisfied." Which means they're going to eat the food that they grow, and they aren't going to have to like feed the legions of Caesar, of Rome. And it goes on. "In those days and at that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be stopped, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and none shall be found, for I will pardon the remnant that I have spared." Jeremiah's words sound a whole lot like the word of Jesus. So this is the reason why the disciples are asking this stuff about the kingdom. Because they get it. Except that their faith and their imagination is still a little bit too small time. Because Jesus isn't always only Israel's Messiah, as if Israel was only for Israel. Jesus' doings and teachings and his reign are to be made known in all the earth. This is back to the basic stuff, like calling of Abraham and Sarah stuff, where there to be a blessing to all nations. In Jesus and in the Spirit, that are in Jesus and by the Spirit's direction and through the Spirit's power, the church is to be that witness to the blessing that is for all nations. I mean, this is why it's super important for us to deal with history honestly and with eyes wide open. Because when we give that testimony, it's blasphemous and it turns people away from Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. That's why we have to struggle with our history. Now, we're going to skip Jesus' rebuke. We don't have time. We don't know the time when he comes. But what he does when he closes that door of knowing it's going to be my lifetime or your lifetime, what he does is he offers the Holy Spirit. Which means, and when he offers the Holy Spirit, that's God, like the very God with us, God. But what he offers with the Holy Spirit is power, which is part of what the disabled are looking for, and part of what you need to live a good life. See, we're not stuck. That's what the promise of the Holy Spirit gives us. It gives us relationship with God now. It also gives us the power to act now. We're not stuck. We don't have to live locked and barred, upper room lives, like closed doors for fear of the authorities. We don't have to live siloed off. We're silent in the land. Because Jesus offers this other way. This other way between those poles of siloed off and those poles of like kind of a make Israel great again sort of pole. Like he offers a third, you could say a third way. We are to be witnesses. People who point to Jesus. And people who experience Jesus. You can't be a witness without experience. Now, I want to say in closing that there's a should and a have to in this passage. That you're witness. If you want to follow Jesus, you're witness. But there's also the promise of the Holy Spirit. And there's the promise that you get to experience God. You get to experience God. That is what's on offer when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. You don't get to experience God only at the end of all time, but now. You get the power to act out God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Now. And that's hard. It requires like building up your ears, as Clarice is kind of pointing to. We have to learn constantly over the course of our lives in the community how to hear the Spirit and see the Spirit's work. Like, that is what we do here. That is what we're meant to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing downstairs, afterwards, after and during our fellowship, as we have questions, as we wonder what God's doing in the world. That is the work of working on our ears so that we can live and experience God and then point and say, hey, God revealed this to me. I was this, and now I'm just a sinner and also a sinner. Now, like, Jesus changed me, or Jesus revealed this thing to me. This is our experience. This is what is on offer. God, life, God. When the disciples are gazing into heaven, And then the angels bring their gaze back to Carol from here. That is maybe some of what we need to sometimes do is look around, and just speak good news to one another and to the world. I'm going to pray, and let's go downstairs. If there are questions, if there are parts of this passage you want to discuss, let's do it. Lots of notes and lots of time. Heavenly Father, it's hard for us that you took back Jesus, that you don't have him walking around bodily here in Boisevin, because that would be the best place for him. But we thank you for your Spirit. And we ask that you tune our ears to listen to and listen for the Spirit. That you put on our hearts the things that we need to do, whether it's repentance or whether it's just quieting down or whether it's service, the things that we need to do to prepare for your Spirit, to listen to your Spirit. We thank you for taking us in Christ into your presence. And we ask that you give us both the hope that we would also share that presence at your right hand, and the audacity to act as if that were so. We thank you for Jesus. We place our hope and our trust in him. At your right hand. Send him soon.
Six 47 in the brown hymnal. 647. Is that 647?
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Walk in God's peace. Amen.